Om Shanti and very good morning. Welcome to this place. Probably you were here yesterday. I don't know whether you came inside or you went just from outside to the Baba's Rock. But this complex is the oldest complex. And this hall you are seeing is also the oldest hall among all the halls and auditoriums we have. We call it History Hall. And the photographs which you are seeing all around here, they are all connected to the history of this organization. Not all are from the very beginning, but a couple of them are there who are from, you can say, late 30s or early 40s. For example, if you see these first three photographs, they are from that time. And there are further few photographs also. So the organization began with a group of people in which there were many young girls, many, many young girls, besides little children. See, and so it was a total group of about 400 people, and most of them were girls and young women, some men and some children. And then how it started like a small sapling, but then gradually it has turned into a huge sort of a banyan tree, you can say. Big, big, big tree whose branches are spread all over the world, in all the continents. And we are proud of that we are really able to serve the society, serve all the continents of the world by whatever ways we can. And that is in different ways. One of the ways is this, that is to organize such programs like the Peace of Mind Retreat. Many such programs are organized in the headquarters and also in different parts of the world. You might be knowing that from where you have come, and you must be in contact with the centers there. So this place, this complex as it is, because it is the historical complex, and the founder of the organization and many other, like Dadi Janki and many other such dadis and seniors, and later on many others, have been doing here deep meditation, very deep meditation. We use a word called tapasya. Tapasya means intense meditation, in which you observe silence for a long time. In the early days, the founder of the organization, sort of organized groups of 20, 30, 40 people within this group of 400 people. And this group, each group had to observe, for example, 15 days of silence. 15 days of silence. And if they had to say something, they would do it in writing. So just imagine, when you are able to observe that silence, then the number of thoughts, gradually, what will happen to them? Will decrease. And if you know the philosophy of thoughts, the more the number of thoughts, that means the more wasteful and unnecessary they are. The lesser the number of thoughts, the more useful and positive they are. And so it is very, very important, to be able to reduce the number of thoughts. And one of the methods for that is silence. And I remember one incident when in 1987, here in this complex, just opposite here, is another our big hall. Probably you will go and see that. It is called Universal Peace Hall, which has a capacity of 3,000 people. And so once in 87 we had a conference of sages of India. It was for the first time, this conference, and 40 such big sages, you know, of the high level came here. And one of them was a person who was in silence. He had taken a vow of observing silence for 1 year. 1 year. And when he arrived here, even then this period was continuing. He had come to participate in the conference, but he was in silence. And so he gave his speech in writing, and somebody else read it out. You should have seen his face, you see. It was so sparkling with that inner power. So let us, for this 1 minute, be in silence. These two lines of the song are played every hour, and the essence of these lines are, with the power of silence, we have to create peace in the world. So if you will listen to these lines, just recall this. With the power of silence, we have to create peace in the world. Such a world is to be created, where the mind is peaceful and the senses, sense organs are cool. That is, there is no heat of vices like anger, jealousy, hatred, lust, and so on and so on. So therefore, the importance of silence. So I want to ask you, do you love silence? Do you like it? Yes? Do you want to be more in silence, or do you want to be more talking? Silence? Yes? Huh? Yeah, Yeah. That is the art. The question is very interesting. Even if I am physically silent, how to make my mind silent? It is easy to be physically silent, you know, when there are some occasions in any country, when some important person dies or something, so people stand up for a minute or few seconds or couple of minutes just to be in silence. But you know, that is very, very formal, so to say. The time passed, people are waiting, you know, they are moving here and there, they are waiting when this minute will be over and when they will come into conversation and so on. So physical silence, but anyway it is easy to observe. But what about mental silence? So when we say mental silence, it does not mean that I want to free my mind from all the thoughts. But what I want to do is, I want to free the mind from unnecessary thoughts. Unnecessary thoughts. This is called silence of the mind. And for that, I have to purposely give my mind a direction. That is, I have to use my intellect. I don't know whether you have been told about it, that when we say that I am a soul, you know that a soul has three abilities, every soul. One of that ability is called mind. Mind is not separate from the soul. Mind is the ability to think. The ability of the soul to think. Then the intellect is the ability to make decision, to judge, to choose, to memorize, to analyze, to understand, this intellect. And the third ability, it is a Sanskrit word, we call it sanskar, but in simple language you can call it habit or tendencies, impressions. So when the impression of the actions done by the soul through the body creates sanskars. So this is a very interesting topic, very, very interesting topic, the abilities of the soul. We need to actually understand it for the practice of meditation, for making the mind silent. But at that moment, what I would like to tell you is that if you see the soul a point, and then mainly these two abilities, mind and intellect. Mind thinks, and intellect chooses or decides what to think. So the question is, what is the source of thoughts? From where the thoughts come? From where thoughts come? From outside? From outside? From the external world, yeah? In whatever environment I am, the thoughts come from there. But there are thoughts which are not connected to the present environment. They can be the thoughts of the past also. Past. So where is this past? Where is this past located? Environment is located around me, you know. The thoughts are coming from there. When the thoughts of past or thoughts of future come, where is this past and future located at the moment? Within me. Within me, right? And that within me is the memory. Yeah. See? Sanskar, right? And so the thoughts come from there. Two main sources. External environment and my sanskaras. And this is why in the same environment, in the same situation, 10 people can have 10 different kinds of thoughts. Environment is the same, but different kinds of thoughts, because sanskars are different. Okay? And so, now, the mind is the ability to think. The thoughts come from environment, thoughts come from sanskar, and they keep on coming, even unnecessarily they keep on coming, without my control. But now I want to say to my mind, stop. Become silent. Here, I use my intellect, the ability to discern, to choose, to make decision. What to think? I tell my mind, think, I am a soul. Think, I am a soul. Think, I am a point of light. And when you are saying to your mind, think, I am a soul, at the same time, you are using your ability to visualize. Where is the soul? Where is the soul? Soul is at this position, here inside the brain, right? Here at this level. So you go inside with the eye of mind, with the eye of knowledge, you look inside. So you are creating the thought, I am a soul, a point of light. You can see? You can see? See? I am peaceful. So, could you see? And at that time, did you have any other thought? Did you have? No. They disappeared. Understand? You understand what is to be done? So the process is to slowly, with understanding, what is intellect? Understanding. Slowly, with understanding, I create those thoughts or that thought, maybe just one thought. which I need at the present moment. And I focus my attention on that thought. I picturize that thought. Picturize it. See it. And feel it. Here. Okay? So this is how our mind comes in silence. And if you keep practicing it now and then, like here, every hour music plays, you stop. Not just physically. Again, give a direction to your mind. Like you turn your car, steering wheel you move and it turns. So give a direction to your mind. And there the mind goes. And then you say it to be there. Just to be there. That's all. And this is what gives the experience of silence and experience of the self. If you remember Dadi Janki's class, she again and again underlined the word self-realization. You remember? Self-realization. So how is it possible to realize the self? Self, not this physical body. Self, the soul. It is possible only in silence. Then, now I say that I am peaceful. But when it becomes my experience, then I am confirmed. I am sure. I have faith. Yes, I am peaceful. And therefore, if any provocative situations come from outside, I do not get provoked. I am peaceful. I have understood. I have realized it, that I am peaceful. Otherwise, theoretically, I will know I am peaceful. And the situations will come, they will provoke me, I will get provoked. I will get irritated. And then I will say, what can I do? The situation was such. So who is the master? Situation or me? Who is the master? Situation or me? Me. So if I say, what can I do? I did not want to get irritated, but the situation was such. So who became the master? Who? Situation. So do you want the situation to be your master? No. You want to be the master of the situation. And it is possible only when you increase your inner power. And this inner power increases, as I was giving the example of that sage, in silence. You do not need to observe silence for a year, but time and again and again, whenever you are sitting at your working place, you see there is specially nothing to do, just do not take your mind unnecessarily here and there. Be silent. You are sitting in a car, somebody is driving, you have nothing to do. Be silent. Go in silence. Okay? So use the time during the day. Find these moments of silence again and again. And even if you are extremely engaged in some task, just for a minute stop. Like for example, you are feeling thirsty during the task, during the work. You will stop? You will stop to take a glass of water or juice or something? You will stop, isn't it? Or you will say that, no, I am so busy, I won't. I let me continue to do work, even if I am feeling thirsty, does not matter. No, sometimes it happens, but it can't happen for a long time. So you will stop and you will take a glass of water or juice or coffee, tea, whatever you want to take. So the same is here. As my body feels thirsty or hungry, or it wants even fresh air, you just want to move out of the room for 2 minutes, or you want a little bit stretch, right? Just for a minute. So the same way, I have to take care of the soul, myself. Sometimes it needs stretching, sometimes it needs water, sometimes it needs food, yeah? Sometimes it needs some fresh air. Just for a minute, I come out from the room of my thoughts, the thoughts of the work, and focus on this, who am I? Okay? So this is how we come into silence. Now, today, this minute, today is 8th. So you are already here since 3 days, yeah? So I would like to ask you, before I start today's theme, what have you learned? Not what have you listened, but what have you learned up till now? Yes, come on. Huh? You are peace, you have learnt it. Or you have come to know about it? You have analyzed it?
Internalized.
You have internalized it?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all the time, but by saying it.
Okay. Okay, very good. Very good. Anybody else? What have you learned? That we are a soul and a point of light. Uh-huh. Good, very good. We are? To be in silence? You have learnt it? Yes? Okay, good, yes?
Uh-huh. I have learned that meditation is more than a name, it's a way of life.
Meditation is a way of life, yes. So you have understood what is that way of life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in simple words, we can say that a way of life, meditation, one of the meanings of meditation is positive thinking. Yeah? So, when we say it is a way of life, that means to be able to create positive thoughts in all situations, whatever I come across during the day and during my life. If I can see every situation with a positive point of view, with a positive attitude, and do not get disturbed or confused or worried and so on, this will be called a stage of meditation in practical. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Yes?
The different thing that I've learned is that you don't have to close your eyes to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
That you can confront everything around you and be able to apply it in your day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. So you understood that you need not close your eyes for meditation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Consciously. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yes, sister. If you have courage, God will help you. So, what courage you need here? While being here, you need some courage?
Change.
To change. Courage to change. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? What courage, yes?
The most useful thing I found in the whole program so far was our small session yesterday, the concept of silence. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Not just understand it, but to practically implement it.
Yeah, making use of that concept in the small groups, which you, very good. Interesting. Okay, good. So, in essence, what we have up till now, at least listened, is about our first lesson of spirituality, and that is about who am I? Who am I? Who am I in my form, in my nature, in my qualities? Where is my true home? What are my powers? And so on and so on. We have understood, at least listened, up till now this much. Who am I? But as I told, that connection with the self, that connection with the self is possible in silence. It requires definitely a lot of practice, a lot of practice. And today we are talking about second theme. The theme today is called connecting with the divine. That means today we want to talk little bit about that divine being, God, the Supreme. And so we all know that we can't see God with these eyes. There was a time when scientists said that if God exists, let him prove his existence. They say in 1950, on Moscow radio, it was announced like that. That if God exists, let him prove his existence by showing some miracles. And because God did not show any miracles, it was announced God does not exist. And so different concepts. For a long, long time, people were thinking about that God exists and God takes different incarnations, and or God is omnipresent, or God is everywhere, God takes different forms, and suddenly another concept comes, God does not exist. So there is a big confusion in the world about this concept of God. Who is God? Where is God? What relationship I have with God? And do I need God? Do I need God? Can I communicate with God? Can I really get connected with God? And if yes, how? And why there is the need for that? Whenever any person remembers God, in whatever form, one thing is common, you know, probably in their understanding, is that God is the bestower of peace. That He is love, He is kind, He is merciful, He is compassionate, yeah? And that He helps all. He does not have any, you know, limitations or any boundaries. To this one I will help, to this one I will not. So this is something common people think about God. So therefore it is very, very important to understand that if God is love, God is kind, God is merciful, and then where is God? There is so much suffering in the world. So much suffering in the world. So much sorrow in the world. So many pains and diseases and wars and problems. So many. What that merciful God is doing? God is kind. God is love. Where is He? Why God is allowing all this to happen in the world? Okay. And so we need to actually understand all these things. Some people, you know, when something bad occurs in their life, they blame God or complain. Oh God, why did you do this with me? So actually what is the thing is that people have not understood, they do not know who God is, what He is, what does He do, and what does He not do. Where is He and how to meet Him, how to get connected with Him. So another thing which I would like to say here for you to think about is that it is also said in different religions, God as Father, Godfather, like in Christianity for example, they'll say Godfather. In India, when people worship God, they say God as Mother and Father, both. And not only Mother and Father, but also Teacher and Guide, also Companion and Friend. So for God, they use all relationships, Beloved and Child and Companion and Friend and Guide and Guru and Teacher and everything. But in general, in the whole world, people will say that God is the Father. So the question is, whose Father? Whose Father? Huh? Everyone. Everyone. Who is everyone? Every person. Every soul. Because as human beings, each one of us has our own father, different fathers. But God is the Father of all the fathers. My father says to Him, Father. My grandfather also says to Him, Father. All the religious founders also say to Him, Father. Because God is the Father of all the fathers. Means, we are all His children. And we are all His children as souls. As souls. And this is how we come to the concept of universal brotherhood. I remember my childhood when in our school days we were taught that Hindus, Muslims, there is a religion called Sikhs, Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs and Christians, they are all brothers. It was a rhythmic, you know, like poem. And we were all taught like that. Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs and Christians, they are all brothers. But our teachers never taught us and never told us how. How come we are all brothers? In what sense we are all brothers? This one is born in that family, that one is born in that family, this one belongs to that religion, that one belongs to that religion, to this language, to that nationality, to this culture, to that culture. How come we are all brothers? Nobody explains. But now the spiritual wisdom explains to us that actually these nationalities, religions, languages, cultures, they all belong to the body. You understand? They all belong to the body. I was born in a Hindu family, so I was labeled as a Hindu. Another person was born in a Christian family, he was labeled as a Christian. But when the child was born, on his forehead was not written, you are a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim or whatever. Or you are an American or a Japanese or a Chinese or Indian or whatever. No. We were labeled with nationalities, languages, religions after we were born, we came in the body. Once again, silence. So again, take your attention to yourself. So all these, limitations which have been put on each human being today is limitations because of identifying the self and others with body. But now, and this is why there are so many wars in the world. Wars between black and white and, you know, different religions and different languages. And you see, the tragedy is that even the wars are in the name of God. In the name of God. In the name of religion, probably the maximum number of wars in the history of the world have been because of different religions. And God can't teach violence. God is love. God is kind. So definitely there is some misunderstanding. And now we have understood that actually neither I am a body nor anyone is a body. I am a soul and each one of us is a soul. And if God is the father of the souls, so how should he look like? If God is the father of the souls, I am not the body. If when I see myself or my body, then maybe there is some resemblance by, you know, in features with my mother, with my father, with my grandparents and so on. But I have understood I am not the body. I am a soul and we are all souls. And God is the father of the souls. So if I am a soul and we are souls and we are points of light, and how should be our father? Soul. He should also be a soul. But the supreme soul. The difference only is that we are souls and God is the supreme soul. The soul. Baby souls. We are children's souls, yes. And God is the soul. You know, like for example, we say that so and so is a great soul, a great person. See? Like, for example, you are sitting in India, so I give the example of Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma, why he is called Mahatma? Mahatma means great soul. So Gandhi is called a great soul. Like, so the same, Vivekanand will be called a great soul. The same way, in different parts of the world, different souls will be called great souls. So when we say they are great souls, does it mean that those souls are little bigger in size? They are developed. They are developed in spirituality, right? Their spiritual power is more. Their virtues are more. But it does not affect the size. The size is the same. The soul is the soul, the point of light. I am a point, you are a point, everyone. So somebody will say that this person is a sinful soul. Sin, he makes sins, you know. He does, you know, like, for example, terrorist. In his, with his understanding, wrong understanding or whatever, he kills so many people. It's a big sin. But it does not mean that soul is extremely tiny in size, tiny than the ordinary soul. No, the soul is the soul. Just a point. Every one of us is a tiny point of light. But it is because of developed or not developed. Spiritually grown up or not spiritually grown up. Dimmer? Yes, yes, it happens. If I am, every soul is a point of light, but there is light of 0 watt, 25 watt bulb or 1000 watt. The difference is there. So the power of the soul is, can be in that, but not so much of difference, you see. But it is in the activity, in the actions, in behavior it is visible. How I react in a situation, it tells how much powerful I am. See? So when I say soul, ordinary soul, great soul, and then I come to supreme soul. So in form and size, we are all alike. In form and size, we are all alike. That is a point of light. But as the sister said, what is her name? Melissa. She said that developed or not developed, we can say it about souls, that is human souls. But when we talk of God, God is the Supreme, Almighty, and always Almighty, always Almighty, always kind, always love, always peace, always. As far as human souls are concerned, I have understood that I am a peaceful soul, but sometimes I am not peaceful. I lose my peace. Sometimes I am kind, but at other times little harsh. Sometimes I am loving, but at other times get angry. Right? So with human souls, these changes take place, you know, duality. Sometimes love, sometimes hatred, sometimes kind, sometimes harsh, sometimes peaceful, sometimes worried. But when we say of God, God is constant, in the sense, constantly, always love, peace, bliss, knowledge, wisdom, constantly. And this is why He is called Supreme. Supreme Soul. But in size and form, exactly the same as I am and as you are. That point of light. The tiny point of light. And so, if God has a form, like I have a form, I am a soul, and this is my body. So I, the soul, in this body, live somewhere. Where do I live in this body? Which is the place for me, the soul, in this body? In the brain. Yes, at this level. So I am not all the time running here and there in the body. Because my powers are going, but I as an entity is located here in the brain at the level of the center of forehead. I am an entity. So God is also an entity, a being. Right? So I have a place to stay. So where is God's place?
It's everywhere.
God's residence?
It's everywhere.
God is not everywhere.
But God, we cannot quantify God.
No, we are not quantifying God, no?
We can give Him qualities because we take
Him. Okay. Very good. Ekonkar, Satnam, you know, these are the words which sister is using in a scripture of Sikh religion. And so, but this praise, Ekonkar, Satnam, means, what does it mean? That He is incorporeal. His name is truth. He is free from fear. He is free from enmity. These are His names, His praise. Akal Murat, that He is immortal. Immortal and image of immortality. This is the praise of God. But now think about it. If I say that God is omnipresent, God is everywhere, then His qualities should also be everywhere. Just listen. Yeah, this is to be understood. Then His qualities, like for example, I have mixed up sugar in milk. I can't see the sugar, but when I drink the milk, it is sweet. I say, there is sugar in the milk. There is a flower, not paper flower, not plastic flower, a real flower, rose for example. And so if there is rose, there is fragrance. So it should be there. If there is, you know, sun, there is heat and light. So if God is everywhere, in me, in you and in everyone, then, you know, then His qualities will be everywhere. So in each one of us, that is in each body, there is a soul and not Supreme Soul. And not Supreme Soul. If Supreme Soul would be in each body, then there was no question of saying that this is a great soul and this is an ordinary soul. This is a soul. They become, yes, yeah, soul. Soul, a great soul. Great soul. Supreme soul does not become supreme soul. Yes, other souls become. Let others also understand if questions, when later on we will talk about it. So this is to be understood. Why supreme is supreme? Because supreme is always supreme. Constant in his qualities. His qualities do not waver, you know. Today peaceful, tomorrow peaceless. It does not happen with God. Just imagine if God becomes peaceless, what will happen to us? Just imagine, God today got angry. Huh? God today became merciless. It does not even suit, you know. So God is constant in his qualities, and this is why he is called supreme. But souls, human souls, they can, you know, they can become higher if they develop, in the sense that they can become divine beings with small d. They can become deities. They can become angels. But God is God. And so therefore when we call connecting with the divine, this divine is with capital D. And that is only one. And this is why it is said God is one. And God is truth. Truth is always one. So understand? And so that God, one God, belongs to all. Belongs to all. And all belong to that one God. For any human being, you can't say this. You can't say this. That you can't say that any human being will say, any human being in the world will say that all the people of the world belong to me. Or the people of the world will say that this person belongs to all of us. There is always a limitation, always. Yes, there can be a person, probably there can be a person for whom the whole world has respect. The whole world has love. But for example, again, if talk of Gandhi, he will be called the father of nation for India. He will not call father of America. Still there is a limitation. Maybe the America respects Gandhi. London respects Gandhi. The whole world can respect Gandhi. South Africa can respect Gandhi. But still they will say, Gandhi belongs to India. So for a human being, there is always a limitation. But for God, no limitation.
And we say that we are all one?
We are all one in the sense, because not one in essence, you know, that we are each soul mixed up. No. Each one of us is unique. Each one. We are all one in the sense that we are one family. But we are different from each other. Very different from each other. We are unique personalities. You are my brother, but you are you. Yeah? I am I, still. Still, I have my, in some aspects you can have your own thinking. You have the whole, all right to think in your own way. I have my own thinking. Right? But we are one family. Because we are all children of one Father, one God. And so when we say that God is one and God is truth, and that God is really incorporeal, for whom it is said, Ekomkar. Is incorporeal. No physical being can be called God. Anyone with a body cannot be called God. Because anyone who has a body will definitely have his parents. And the parents are higher than the child. But God is the highest on high. Anyone who has a body will definitely die one day. God is immortal. God does not die. Anyone who has a body has to have a teacher who will teach him alphabets and so on. God does not need to learn from somebody. God is the wisest of the wise. So God is incorporeal, bodiless being, a point of light, but supreme in his qualities. Now, the question is, how should I get connected with him? If I want to meet you, I can meet you here. We are sitting opposite each other. If you go back to your country and I want to meet you, how to meet? What is the way? Silence. Yes, that can be a silent meeting. But I want to meet you personally. Then we have to make an appointment. We made an appointment. You live in America. I live in India now, for example, or in Russia. And I want to meet you. So what we have to do? We have to travel. And okay, we traveled. I reached America at the airport. How to reach you? I need your address. Okay? I need your address. Without knowing your address, I can't reach you. And I have to travel to your home at that time when we have the appointment. So now I want to meet God. So what I have to do? I have to travel. But where to travel? Which passport, which visa I need for that? Yeah? Where is the address of God? Where does God live? Where should I reach? Huh? I must know that. So I came to know that God is an entity, God is a being, and He is the highest on high. So His abode, His place of residence is also highest on high. And that abode is beyond these five elements, beyond cosmos. That is called the abode of light. Here, we don't have that picture. But, at the end, if you will come, you will see this on the right hand side, there is this picture. And at the top, if you see that orange part of this picture, this is a picture of three worlds. And this blue part is this physical world where we are. And then the next part, in three colors you are seeing, white, yellow and orangish, it is the subtle world. We have not talked about it in our retreat. Later on you can know. But the third one, the latest, the topmost one, that is called the incorporeal world or the world of silence. The world of silence, the world of peace, the highest abode. That is the place from where we came here in this world to play. And that is the place where God also resides. And to travel there, we need not go to any office to take any passport, visa, but we need to take. What is that? We need to take the permission that we do not take any extra baggage with us. Extra baggage of thoughts. This extra baggage will stop us at the custom. You see, we will not be allowed to go. So that means I have to travel on the plane of my mind while creating the thought, who am I, from where am I, and whose child am I? Just three thoughts. Who am I? From where am I? And whose child am I? Simple three thoughts. Create these three thoughts slowly while answering them and travel within a second from the physical world to the spiritual world. Very simple. If you want to travel physically from here to your home, it will take many hours. But if you want to travel with your thoughts to your home, how much time it will take? Hardly a second. The same is here. I travel to my original home, the home of my father, the spiritual world, the world of silence, the world of light, on the plane of my mind. And that is also possible in silence. And so let us now practice for some time. So please close your notebooks. If you can sit a little straight, alert, relaxed, keeping your eyes open or half open. Just see that no part of your body, your shoulders, your neck, your forehead, nothing is stressed, nothing is in tension. You are relaxed because you are going to begin a wonderful journey, the journey of the soul to the Supreme Soul, to the Supreme Father, in the highest abode. First, we will turn inwards and then upwards. Bring your attention in the center of your forehead. Look at yourself with the eye of knowledge. With the eye of understanding. Who am I? Listen to the inner voice. What is the answer to the question, who am I? Who am I in my true nature, in my original form? Keep on looking at the self and see how sparkling, shining the point of divine light you are, the living light, the life force, the eternal light. The immortal, invisible light. I am light. Radiating light. Sparkling light. A star of peace, a star of love, a star of joy, I am a soul. I am the child of Supreme Soul, Supreme Father, God, the Almighty. Let us go upwards, take the flight of your mind and go beyond this physical world of sun, moon and stars and reach in the world of light, golden red light, the highest abode, the home of my Father. My home, now look at yourself in front of another sparkling point of light. Just close to, very close to him. Surrounded by light, as if in an ocean of light. And feel that the rays of love and power emanating from my Supreme Father and coming to you. I am in my home, the home of light, with my Supreme Father, the highest being. I need not speak anything, just a silent communication. Communication of the soul with the Supreme Soul. The loving communication. Let us return back from the world of souls to this physical world. Become aware of this body and the surrounding, and take your position in the center of your forehead. Once again, underlining for the self, who am I and whose child am I? Om Shanti. Do you have any questions before we move further? Yes? Yeah, so the question is about so much suffering in the world and how does God help? Yeah, good. Your question?
Mine has to do with why do you use the center of the forehead as the point of light? Why not shoulder? Why not back here?
Okay. So first question about sufferings and God's help. Tomorrow there will be a lesson on a very interesting theme on the law of karma, the law of actions. You will come to know in that why sufferings in the world. And there is another aspect when we talk of God. What does God do and what He does not do? It's very important. So, you know, God, when we think of God, what God does not do, it is that which is very, very important, that God does not create human bodies. He does not create human bodies. Human bodies are created by our parents. God does not create elements of nature. These elements are eternal. And God does not interfere in human actions. He does not interfere in human actions. God does not send us calamities. It is not God's task. It's not God who makes the crops grow and the flowers have color and the rain, clouds rain and so on. So there are three kinds of actions. In spiritual language, one is actions of nature, second is actions of human beings, and third are the acts of God. See, just a minute, okay? And so how does God help when a person suffers? That is the question. Why suffering? That you will listen tomorrow. But how God helps? Because God loves all. And if, for example, I have done something wrong, if we see the physical world, if I have done a crime, I am supposed, you know, I am bound to suffer punishment for that crime, right? But if the criminal, while being in the prison, behaves in a very nice way, and he transforms himself, his, you know, duration of punishment reduces. Isn't it? So it's how the law works. So when we talk of the spiritual law, it works in the same way. When a person suffers, he suffers not without any reason. He suffers because of some bad action which he has done knowingly, unknowingly, now, in the past, long, long ago. But whatever comes to him, it comes because of something wrong done by him. And how does God help? First thing is that God, at the time of doing action, sort of a voice comes from inside and from up above, don't do this. Don't do this. This is wrong. But what human being does is, he kills his own inner voice, the voice of his conscience, and he does not bother about the voice which comes from up above, and does the wrong action. So the first help is in the form of this signal, don't do this. And second is, when the action is done and the person is suffering, then the second help is that God says, don't repeat this mistake now. Don't repeat it. Still, he gives the chance to that person. And these words, you know, don't repeat this mistake now, they can come either like a voice in the form of a thought, or they can come from a person. A person will come to you and will say, stop it now. Don't do it anymore. This is another help, you know. And the third is, if the person makes the promise to transform, then his suffering very, 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 you know, so to say, with a very fast speed reduces. It comes to an end. Like he's forgiven, in the sense, you know. And so God helps, but it is said God helps those who help themselves. And so the person also need to help himself, in the sense of not doing the wrong action. Because God is love, but at the same time it is said for God, He is the supreme justice. He can't break the law of karma, the law of action. So when you will understand this tomorrow, you will understand it a little more. And as far as the existence of soul in the body is concerned, you see, if you remember your first day lesson, it must have been told to you that we compare this body to a car and the soul to a driver. This is the best analogy. And the driver in the car sits at the place from where it is easiest for him to drive and to control the car. So in our body, it is a very good mechanism. In our body, the control room of our body is our brain. The whole, everything, all the messages, whatever happens to our body, enter our brain. And so the driver of this mechanism, this car, has to be near to it, so that to quickly catch those messages and instantly give the direction, what is to be done now and so on. So this is the best place for the soul to be there, and so the soul exists there. Okay, any other question? Yes, please? No. No, 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 no. It's not like that. No. You know, there is, if you have understood you are a soul, and that means you have understood that the soul is eternal, that the soul is never created, never destroyed. And second thing which you also should understand, as the first law of thermodynamics says, that matter is never created and never destroyed. Right? So body is matter. Just a minute. Elements are, these are matter. So like soul is eternal, never created, never destroyed. Matter is also neither created, never destroyed. And so that means the bodies are created. Bodies are created, but not the matter. Body, our body was created by our parents. Right? Body was created by our parents. But the matter as it is existing eternally. Eternally. This is why we have to understand one very important point, that there was never a point in the history of humanity when the world did not exist and when the world will not exist. Never, never, never. Because the souls are eternal and the matter is eternal. the world always existed and will always exist. But the only thing which happens is the world changes. Like I was a child, then I became adolescent, then I became a youth, then I become old, then this body dies. But I do not die. The soul takes another body. This cycle continues. You see? So the same happens, that the world changes, but the world does not cease to exist. And the world was never created. Because this whole world, it is a play of three entities: matter, souls, and supreme soul. And all three are eternal. All three are eternal. Physically, this sofa was created one day. But one day it will finish. It will not be worthy to be seated on. But the matter itself will not finish. It will mix up with other things. This is why it is says matter changes into energy, energy changes into matter. That's all. So this is a material energy. Soul is the spiritual energy. And energy is neither created nor destroyed. So we need to understand this aspect of spiritual wisdom also. Okay. Now, any other question if you have, otherwise I move little further. Yes.
Is there any way for the soul to know which was the bad action committed in other life?
It can be, sometimes by hypnosis maybe, but I won't suggest to go for that. If, for example, somebody comes to know that he did this bad action and now he is suffering for that, maybe he will have the power to endure, power to tolerate, have patience. But what will happen is that he will keep on, you know, scolding himself. He will keep on scolding himself. Why did you do it? Why did you do it? And it is not the remedy. The spiritual wisdom says that the basic thing you have to understand, that if I have done something bad, this is why something bad is coming in front of me. If, for example, in your garden you have apples, so it is understood that once upon a time you sow the apple seed. You did not dig which seed I sow, because of which in my garden there are apples and in my neighbor's garden there are mangoes, or in my garden there are lemons, or in my neighbor's garden there are oranges. I know, seeing the fruit, which seed I sow. It is understood. So if I have suffering in my life, it is understood that I have done something wrong. This is why there is suffering. Now, what is the conclusion? What is the conclusion? Acceptance, and what else? If I do not want to suffer in future, I should not do wrong action now. Because present is created by past and future is created by present. If I can't change my past, I have done, finished, past is gone. But I can definitely improve my present. Present is in my hand. I take the lesson from the past, make my present beautiful, so that my future will be beautiful. Okay? So therefore, I don't suffer because of my past actions also. I just take it as an opportunity to learn a lesson. And second thing, which is extremely important, learning to forgive the self. forgive the self. Yes, I did something wrong, unconsciously, consciously, in ignorance, or because of carelessness, but now I have understood. Now I will not do. I forgive myself for my wrong action. I realize my mistake. I don't repent. I realize my mistake, and I make efforts to transform myself, to become better, to improve. Just a minute. And if I learn to forgive myself for my mistakes, then it will be much easier for me to forgive others for their mistakes. And this is very important for getting this communication, you see. Because, you know, if I keep on living in my past or in others' past, I can't connect with myself with the Divine. Because the Divine is free from all this. He does not keep our weaknesses in His heart. He does not keep our mistakes in His heart. If I want to connect with Him, I want to free my heart from all these negativities. And for this, I need to learn to forgive the self, first of all. Then I will forget that bad thing. And then I will be able to forgive others also. And forget that bitter past. I think that bitter past is one of the biggest enemy of the soul. Many sufferings are not because something has happened now. Many sufferings in the life of a human being are because he is lingering on with his past or with the past of others. In 10 years ago, this person did with me this and that and so on and so on. I keep on thinking and suffering and suffering and suffering. Why did I do this mistake 2 years ago? I should not have done it. I keep on thinking and keep on suffering. And this is why God, the Supreme Father, this is His help. He says, child, put a full stop to your past. That is, forget about it. Yes. Why not? Yes, yes, very true. Very true. This is what we are doing. We are not just talking and theoretically. We are also practically. If you remember, on the very first day, Dr. Pratap came and told about how we are going, we are having outreach programs in villages, helping them, educating them, giving them medicines, you know, as best as we can. We are doing that. But at the same time, teaching them that they are poor, you know, and they should not bring more poverty in their life by having some bad habits like tobacco, alcohol, and so on and so on. And so when we are teaching them that they should get rid of these bad habits so that they can economize, you know, their money, and they can use it for some their food and clothes and home and so on and so on. And this is how a great many changes are taking place in Mount Abu and in many other parts of India and different parts of the world also. So we are doing it practically too, definitely. This is definitely needed. And even poor people, you know, poor people also, we can help them. Like a hungry person comes to me, I give him food. Another day again he is hungry, again he comes to me. Third day again he is hungry, again he comes to me. I go on giving him food today, tomorrow, day after, 1 month, 2 months. For how long? Yes, I will have to teach him how to earn and how not to waste. Isn't it? So this is what we are doing both ways, as much as we can do in physical way and as much as we can do in the spiritual way, both ways. Yes?
When you forgive yourself and forgive others, is there still karmic justice to be paid for something that you did?
Yes, you know, it is, the suffering is reduced. Suffering is reduced. I tell you one experience, you know, there are many such experiences. There was one member of this organization. She met a very serious accident. And she was standing on the bus stop. You see, just imagine how the karma comes. And the bus came and hit her. And she fell down and she had a very big injury on her head. And she was immediately admitted to the hospital. She had to undergo an operation and there were many stitches. It was long ago, I think more than 40 years ago. And so when we came to know about it, she was from that center from where I was in Delhi. And so when we came to know about it that she is admitted to the hospital, and so all of the students of that center, we had special meditation program for sending the vibrations of peace and power to this person, to this soul, so that she will have the ability to bear this pain and so on, and to her mother. And so we've all sat in meditation for about an hour, and these vibrations of peace and power were sent to her. And on that same day, somebody went to meet her in the hospital. And at the same very time, the doctor came, the surgeon came to visit her. And it was surprising for everyone, including the doctor, the surgeon, and the visitors, when the doctor asked her, "Are you feeling pain?" She said, "No." Doctor was surprised that it is not possible with such an injury not to feel pain. And she said, "No, I am not feeling pain." The injury was there. Everything was being done with her head. Her hair was removed and so on. But she said she was not feeling pain. Not only the moral pain, but even the physical pain. So what happens is when you, in the same way, when you forgive the self and others, the karma will come anyway because it has been done, you know. But the suffering will reduce. The suffering will reduce. The pain will reduce. This is very important. Yeah. Okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is what I was telling her, that there is no need to have the idea of that particular karma which you did because of which this suffering came to you. You just need to accept it, that something wrong was done and this is why it has come. But it does not mean I just tolerate and sit with this thought that because I have done something wrong so I am suffering. You try to improve the situation. For example, your child is misbehaving with you. And so you try to find an opportunity to talk to that child. It's not you take it for granted. Probably I have done something wrong, this is why the child is misbehaving with me. No. Accept it, but at the same time, try to find that opportunity when you can talk to your child. And very lovingly, very softly, very gently, probably he will understand. Have all good wishes for the child. And if he still, after all your efforts, he does not understand, he still continues to misbehave, you know, then just tolerate it, accept it, and that's all. And for the future, think that even now, if I want that in future, this child or any other person will not misbehave with me, I should not misbehave with anyone, including this child. He is misbehaving with me, but if I want that he should improve, I should behave with him lovingly. No, the very beautiful example is, if there is fire, fire can be extinguished not with more fire. You can extinguish the fire only with water. If there is a huge fire, big fire, then a glass of water will not help. Then you need to call fire brigade. So if there is very powerful suffering of wrong actions, you have to become more loveful, more peaceful, so that to extinguish this fire of anger and misbehavior, isn't it? If from there is misbehavior, I also misbehave, this fire becomes intense. You understand this? Okay? So just, we have to see that for future, I need to change. And you know, all these things are connected with this point today's, connecting with the divine. If you do not change your behavior, no matter how much you try, you can't connect with the divine. You can't. Your mind will keep on wandering. You can't. Okay? Yeah.
You're not aware of their existence.
Yeah.
Then how is the person need to pay for that?
Yes, there will be the need to pay for that. Why? Because the action has been done, even unknowingly. If the seed has been sown, even unknowingly, the plant will come up. But the only difference which we say here is, for example, two children in the family, little child and bigger child. Little child does the same wrong action as the elder one, but the mother will scold the bigger one, the elder child. And the elder child will complain, why are you not saying anything to this little one? He has also done the same wrong thing. What the mother will say? He is a little child, he does not understand this, but you understand. You have done wrong even after understanding. You understand? So if I have done something unknowingly, the result will come to me, but probably not of that level. It will come, but not of that level. Now, if the child, for example, this little baby has put his hand, he does not know, into fire. Unknowingly, he does not know this is fire on a hot iron, for example. He will have to suffer for that, you see. His hand will burn. But if the child, having understood that, does this wrong, there is more suffering. Besides physical suffering, there is moral suffering also, you see. So now, before we conclude, let's understand this very important point for our practical life, that I am a soul and I am God's child. God, who is peace, ocean of love, ocean of joy, ocean of power, wisdom. So how should I be being his child? God is kind and I am his child. Can I allow myself to be merciless, harsh, rough? I can't. I am his child. Son shows father. So God is peaceful, ocean of peace. So can I, by my behavior, create peacelessness anywhere? I should not. I should not. No. We have, but I teach myself, being God's child, I simply cannot, I say to myself. Not only should not. Should not means like it is a teaching. But I realize that I am God's child. So I cannot misbehave. I cannot spread peacelessness. I cannot hate anyone. Because God is love. So this is understanding or connection with God in practical life. One is when I am sitting for meditation. Another is when I am in action. God is with me or not with me. God is in my awareness or not in my awareness. It will be proved by my actions. Even when I go out of the room, for example, and if I have to close the door, I can close the door in such a way that makes a lot of noise and the person sitting in the room shakes. Or I can close the door so silently that others do not even know that I have closed the door. Softly. I do not make any noise. I do not create any peacelessness. In my every action, the qualities of the soul and qualities of God should be visible, because I am God's child. This will make my connection with the divine much, much better, stronger and closer. Okay? And this is how we will be able to help even other people. So now, let us finish here with a minute of silence, and then we will move to a place in this complex which is called Tower of Peace. This tower was constructed in the memory of the founder of the organization, whom we call Brahma Baba. So you see this picture. He is not our guru. We do not call him God. God is incorporeal. But he became the example of bringing the spiritual teachings in his practical life. You will listen to his story. How did he become the founder of the organization? Who was he? What did he do? It's a very, very loving story, very sweet. But now we will just, after 1 minute of silence, move there, sit for some time there, and try to take the vibrations of silence, the vibrations of peace there. Once again, moving in our inner world, just need to turn your attention from the external to inside. Create the thoughts which you need now. Create, feel, and be. Thank you. Om Shanti.